Hello, everybody. Christina here from On Request Magazine, and we're speaking today with Terry McDermott from Lotus Crush. How's it going,
Hello,
Terry?
how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Looking forward to the weekend. How are you doing with this week being so crazy with the album release?
I'm loving it. You can't get busy enough. I mean, you wait all year making a record, and then you get one day when it comes out, so you got to enjoy it while it's there.
Exactly, that's right. Yeah, how has the reception been so far? I mean, from what I've seen, the critics are enjoying it quite a bit.
Yeah, we seem to be getting a lot of love in all the right places.
Well,
So, frankly, you hopefully get a good sense of what your record's like anyway yourself, I mean, if you're being honest. So we were very excited making it, so we're glad that people are responding to it.
I was really glad to see your name pop up in an email because I'm a big fan. Love what you do, and knowing, and I love Candlebox as well. So Lotus Crush, for those
Excellent.
who doesn't know, has a couple of members from Candlebox, and have interviewed them myself in the past. So seeing the combination, I was like, okay, I really need to hear this record. Loved every track. So we're going to talk about that more. What I do want to share with the listeners who don't know, Terry, this is Terry that we fell in love with on The Voice season 3. And rock does not get represented enough on some of those shows, so we're really glad to see you there. And now Lotus Crush, this is something that I would like you to kind of tell our listeners, how you guys came together, because you actually opened for Candlebox years ago, and that's how you sort of met Peter and Scott, right?
Excuse me, I was in a band called Drive Blind from Scotland, from my hometown, Aberdeen, which really isn't a place where bands commonly get signed from. So it was a very strange experience getting plucked up and coming to live in America. And we toured a lot in the first few years we were here, and really our longest and biggest tour was with Candlebox. I think we were on the road with them for four months. So it was a long haul, and you get to know bands inside and out when you're on the road with them for that long. And Pete and I struck up a friendship, and particularly had conversations about our shared love of British, some seminal British bands. I think the ones that we really bonded over were The Verve and Pink Floyd, and I think you can probably hear elements of that in the music we make. So.
Absolutely. And that's, what I was reading about, which I always love hearing the backstory of how a project like this comes together. And, definitely, the Verve, excuse me, and Pink Floyd, some great bands to bond over. And, it's interesting to me too, because the music that you make, there definitely you hear some elements there, but there's a lot of real classic rock feel to what you guys do, which is hints of other things, which I kind of like. You do feel the layers, in other words, of what things are, but it's not so obvious that you can really say, okay, this reminds me of this band or this reminds me of that.
Right.
It's your own thing, and I love it.
I think Pete and I both, Pete's a massive Led Zeppelin fan. That's, I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying it, but that's something that you can hear, I think, in the choices he makes as a player. And for me, they're certainly the band the first band I fell in love was a British band called Ride, who I think actually are back together now and just played Coachella. But they were, they're saturated harmonies, multi-layered guitars. They're a shoegazing band, but there's a lot of elements of what they did that really stuck with me. So I'm a real sucker for harmonies, and of course my father's record collection growing up, the Eagles left the record left, right, and center. So I love the Eagles. So again, very harmony centric, very vocal centric. So I think those elements, when you're in the studio from a production point of view, that's what you like to hear. That's why I like to hear. So I'm sure both Pete and I and the other guys, there's elements of those things that catalogue that you're attached to when you're growing up. There's definitely little nods to it on the record.
I mean, and that's great. That's great for someone like me especially, but we don't have enough bands, I think, like Lotus Crush out there doing that right now. And at least from my perspective, I mean, I see a lot of bands that come through, requesting coverage and whatnot. And there's a lot of certain genres that are out there right now, and you get that obviously throughout the decades. Something is, a hard hit for a while, and you get a lot of metal or you get a lot of indie right now, really big. But we don't have a lot of, heavily rock influenced true rock bands out there that are doing what you do. So I think that puts you guys in a really interesting position.
I think well, it's a fun place to be in. I mean, obviously rock gets a bit of a bad rap. I think classic rock has kind of been battered over the head to death, which is a shame, because I don't think the quality of the bands through the 70s and maybe early 80s as well, I don't think it's ever diminished, but somehow it's been made into a caricature of itself, which I think is a little unfair, and as a result I think rock's kind of gone by the wayside a little, which is, a very strange thing to live in. It's
Right.
hard to imagine that genre has gone the way it has, but and I love British indie. I love indie. I love indie bands. I think that's probably one of the things that I'm most heavily. I keep my finger on the pulse of what's going on in the indie scene, because I love finding new bands just as much as I did when I was in my early teens.
Right.
So it's a great. This record was a great opportunity to kind of bring the two together. So I think I've used the catch line before, speaking to somebody, but to me, this is it's an indie rock record that's done by a real rock and roll band.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. It's true. I totally saw that when I read it. I said that's how I would describe it.
I think, yeah, I mean, and I think the great thing is that Lotus Crush, when we started off, we released our first record in 2011. There was a lot of elements of I mean, I'd only ever really written with my partner in Driveblind, and we'd written together since I was at school. So, writing with Pete was a whole new dynamic. It was a whole new thing, and for Pete as well, Candlebox for about a part 2 decades at that point. So again, it was just a whole new dynamic, a whole new way of thinking, and I think we both invigorated each other in that regard. So it for me, it cleansed the palate. It kind of wiped the slate clean, and from that point on, I was absorbing as much as I could external influences, and I think I saw a Biffy Clyro, a Scottish band, playing at the Crocodile in Seattle in 2010, and they reminded me there's a benchmark of quality that you simply have to aim for. They were so
Right.
good,
I
and
love
just
them. Love them.
oh, just a great band, and they were just so good, and I was so proud, as a Scotsman watching a Scottish band in
Right.
America. I was just my jaw was on the floor, and I think that realigned me in believing in I guess in rock and roll, and it certainly reminded me that it can be done with such a passion and such an energy. And that record should reflect that. The record shouldn't, you can't go too light on the record and then say, well, I'll just make it up on the stage. So we did try to push in places on the record, or certainly didn't try to shy away from content. If there was subjects I wanted to talk about that maybe in the past I hadn't been able to tackle, this was the record I wanted to do it on, so.
Well, you touched on a few things, that I'd love to keep talking about here. First of all, when you bring up a band like Biffy Clyro, who, I heard years ago, when they first sort of hit over here, and right away, a band like that, when you first hear them, it's hard to wrap your head around because they're so good that you're like, I don't even know what to do with this. And
Yeah, very much so.
I kind of think that it's unfortunate in a way because to me they're kind of like one of my best kept secrets, that maybe not a lot of people out here latched onto the way they should have. They kind of, I don't know, I hate to say this, I'm not trying to downplay how the American people kind of see music, but it's almost like if it's not, out there on top 40 radio, they don't hear about it and they kind of just go with whatever's presented. When I was growing up, I'm kind of like you. I'm always trying to look for the new band, always have been even before I got into this business. So, I guess, for me, a band like that is just so good. You're like, gosh, everyone needs to know about this band and everyone needs to be supporting them and following them. And you don't see it always happen. You're like, I don't understand it. And now for you guys, gosh, I would kill to have more bands like you out there at the forefront. Everybody just,
I
really
think,
bringing it back. You know what I'm saying?
well, I think actually not just Biffy Clyro, but there's other bands that I've heard more recently actually. Well, I mean, I think their 2010 record Only Revolutions was a great example, because there's not a single bad song on the whole record.
Yeah.
And the problem is, and I've heard lots of people say this from the top to the bottom in the industry, say that one of the reasons that rock's been getting peed on from a great height is because there's been a step down in quality. You know, bands, even bands that would find themselves on, you know, doing large radio pushes and actually getting that one song that broke the radio, very often, you know, you go in and listen to the record and there's just nothing else there.
Yeah, right.
No, it's just too much fluff, and there's not enough. It's almost like a style over content. Somewhere along the line, it became acceptable, or that a leather jacket and a bandana could apparently get you further than actually writing good rock songs.
Oh God, that's so true. So true.
You know, I don't subscribe to that. I think it's ridiculous, and I think watching a band like Biffy Clyro or you know, other British bands that I've caught over the part, and not just British bands, but great American bands too. I think that are out there at the moment. But I'm keen on the quality, and you know what kind of musicians would we be if we weren't, you know, reacting to that? If we weren't saying, well, you know, this is our opportunity to really stamp our authority, to stamp, you know, to place our ambitions musically. I don't mean ambitions of success; everybody's got them, but I think just ambitions of really representing yourself as a musician, as a writer, as an artist.
I totally agree, and you know you're right too, because a couple of things that you said. You were talking about, you know, rock getting this bad rap right now, and it's so true, and I think it's really sad considering that all of these sub-genres of rock that are going on right now wouldn't be here if it weren't for all of the greats that we were talking about earlier, you know, so it's unfortunate, but, you know, like you said, you know, even out here, you know, all the, you know, leather-clad, bandana-wearing bands that we have, that may not have, you know, the quality that they should be having. You know, those are probably on the list of bands that I personally don't ever listen to. You know, my favorites are going to be the ones that are under that radar because they're actually just doing it the way it should be done. So, you know, I don't know.
You have to. I mean, there's a lot of great bands out there that will never be recognized for their talent, and they certainly,
right,
you know, won't find the audience they deserve, and it's a crime, because there's just so much, to use a Scottish word, there's so much dross out there.
Oh yeah.
And there's so many acts that are propping up or playing on radio where you're just like, this just isn't good enough.
It's true.
So we certainly didn't want to fall into that category, and I hope we've avoided the bargain bin.
I certainly think so. You know, I can't imagine anyone ever putting those words to your music. So if they do, I'll hunt them down for you personally. Now, I got to throw this in here because, you know, I think we can't really get out of an interview without talking about your experience on The Voice briefly.
No, absolutely. You know, people, it's amazing. I mean, first of all, I have nothing but positive things to say about that experience.
Great.
I mean, it's worth pointing out that, you know, when they came calling, Lotus Crush had literally, 48 hours earlier, we'd literally just lost our summer tour. You know, this was the end of 2011, and frankly, I was staring down the barrel of a pretty massive gap in my career. I think at this point, we were aware that Lotus Crush, we just didn't have the resources. Pete and Scott were going to be on a lot of touring with Candlebox. Our guitar player, John, was off to join another band, which is on a Capital affiliate. So we were just at that crossroads where it was like, well, we just can't see this continuing. And, you know, I was at the point where I was, you know, considering going back and playing gigs on Bourbon Street here in New Orleans,
right,
just to make a living, just put money in the pocket. So when they came calling, you know, there's they call it the music business for a reason, as I always say. And it was very much a case of, yeah, we'd like you to be on the TV show. I was like, well, are you going to pay me? and I said, yeah, it's a paying gig. And I went, well, I'm your man. It's, you know, for me, it wasn't very complicated, and I think some people hugely overcomplicate it. They're like, you can't go on a reality show and be in a band. It's like, well, why not?
Yeah.
The whole point of being an independent musician, that you can pretty much do whatever you want.
Right.
So,
well, yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed the experience, and it brought an audience to me, which, I mean, the fact that I repeat very often, and this to me, just it still blows my mind to hear the words come out of my mouth, but, you know, when I was with Driveline, we were on Guessing, and we toured, I think 2006, we toured maybe 10 months of the year. We played on the Craig Ferguson show, the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson, and I think the TV audience would have been something in the region of maybe 1.5 million, something like that. Now, that was a one-off. And I went on the Voice, and the final of The Voice, the audience that watched that performance was 3 times the population of Scotland.
Oh my gosh. That's
so, I mean,
crazy.
It just puts it in a perspective. It's just it's a different world that we're living in music wise. It's a different landscape. You know, TV is God.
Right, of course.
I think that's hugely illustrated. You know, rock music is fighting for its life. You know, it's a bizarre landscape. But on the flip side, it's actually a fun time to be part of it. You know, I did get an audience from the show that otherwise wouldn't have known that I existed, wouldn't have even known I was alive. So I have to be tremendously grateful for that. And Lotus Crush, it breathed. Ironically, the TV show in itself breathed new life into the endeavours that I went forward with. Lotus Crush suddenly had a record label, and we suddenly had an opportunity to go record in a wonderful studio, and here we are with this great record. And I firmly believe, had I not said yes to going and doing this big multi-million-dollar TV show, you know, singing other people's songs, I would never have had the opportunity to come back and sing my own.
That's so true. I, you know, it's really nice to hear you say that, because I've had the opportunity of interviewing other former voice contestants, and I have interviewed one during the course of the show. I've interviewed a couple others after, and everyone sort of has their different takeaways, you know, and their different interpretation of how it goes while you're on the show or and after, and what happens in the sort of afterlife of a show like that. And, you know, not all was positive, but it's always, you know, a nice thing, you know, because, you know, people will ask me after they know I've interviewed, you know, someone on, whether it be Idol or The Voice, you know, well, what'd they have to say about this or that or the other thing? And, you know, not the general public tends to not have any idea what happens with former contestants afterward, unless they're, you know, pretty much on top 40 radio, really. So, It's nice for me to be able to sort of have that inside track and get to talk to some of you. So, you know, I think it's the one thing that I will always say about a show like that is that it gives you an audience, you know, so you took the words out of my mouth. It really does. And for someone who is into rock, and we don't see a lot of rock represented anymore, it was really great to see someone who had the most beautiful pipes I've heard in a long time in rock sit there and take the stage and just do every single song so much justice. And like you said, now, look, you know, your project is alive and blooming, and you guys have this tremendous record. So I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a huge irony. It's not lost on me. I mean, it's amazing the bizarre winding road. You know, if you'd said to me when I got off the plane after we got moved to America, lived in Los Angeles, you know, we're on a major label, just six guys from Scotland. If you'd told us, if you'd told me that, you know, that band would disband and that we'd go off in these bizarre different directions, and I would end up as a musician on Bourbon Street and then end up starting a band with the guys from Candlebox and then end up on this enormous American TV, I couldn't have possibly predicted any of that. But the irony is, each step has almost been integral to the success of the other. Would I have been able to deliver with confidence as many, or have the repertoire of an American classic rock songbook, had I not performed on Bourbon Street singing these songs night after night? Probably not. Would I have been able to breathe life into Lotus Crush, had I not been on the TV show and gained the audience so that people would want to show faith in you and believe in you? Probably not.
Right.
So, you know, I don't claim to understand it all, but I certainly wouldn't. I certainly wouldn't move or adjust any of the steps that have led me to this point. It's a thoroughly enjoyable ride, and you know, I don't know where it all ends, but hopefully it's not for a while, and hopefully it's a long way from here. So.
Right. And that's beautiful to hear, and it sort of lends a little bit of truth to the saying that everything happens for a reason. So, you know,
yeah.
I'm glad it led you here to this tremendous record. What was the official release on the 14th?
Yeah, it came out the 14th. There's some things going on which I wish I could reveal, but we're only a few days away, I hope, from the point of being able to reveal. But there's some truly just staggering things going on in the background that if I can announce them next week, I think it'll certainly raise a few eyebrows. But in the meantime, we've got the great, fun European tour to come, which actually goes through my home city in Aberdeen. We've got to do a TV show there as well. So we're going off on this big European tour, going to Poland and Germany and Belgium, ending up in London, I think. There's a lot of exciting times ahead for this record. I mean, it's not just for us; it's for people hearing these songs. And that's the part that we're really excited about. So.
Well, two things. I think it's going to be tremendous when you do your European tour, because obviously you already know this, but for us, it's something that we hear a lot is this: the fans in Europe are amazing and love rock with so much passion. So that's just tremendous. I think you guys are going to have a blast. And what kills me that you just said, and this is always the end that I'm on, is I'm always at that point of interviewing somebody and they can't tell me what they're about to announce.
I know.
It's
It's a
like,
gig. It's just it's one gig. It's one gig. It's one gig that will get added on to the end of the British tour.
okay.
Unfortunately, I really would. I think I'd be taken out the back and shot if I said anything at this point.
I don't want
So,
that. Yeah, we
but
don't
I
want
would
that.
say just keep an eye on the tour card because if it gets confirmed, there'll be a very interesting show added to the list next week. But and if it doesn't, you know what? We're still going to be finishing up that UK tour with some shows in London. I think maybe one in Brighton as well, which will just, I mean, it's going to be fantastic. Personally, I love getting my hands dirty on tour. I love what I do. I always have. I've loved it since I did it as a kid, and I've loved it at every stage of my life. And frankly, I just could not imagine. I've also got to say, I've got a very understanding wife, but I couldn't imagine how my life would be if I didn't have my. I can't separate one from the other. This is all I've ever known. So,
Right. Well, the best artists are artists who feel that way. So,
yeah, I'm certainly. I don't think I'm alone
no.
in that camp. I mean, I've read, taken great comfort, in fact, from reading articles like people like Paul McCartney and Neil Young said very similar things, which is Paul McCartney saying, you know, the joy you get from writing a song is so fleeting, and the self doubt is just around the corner. You know, the day after you've written a song or hours after you've written a song.
Right.
There's that self doubt as to whether you can do it again, and Neil Young saying something very similar. So it's almost as if it's a drug in many respects because you know the actual rush from it is very fleeting, and then you've got to go out and chase it all over again.
Of
So
course. Yeah, it's also
hopefully
a
you
good
intend to enjoy the rush.
it's a form of therapy, being able to do what you do, but at the same time, like you said, it's you're your biggest critic, and self-doubt is
You
definitely
harden
part of the
yourself, that's
business.
right.
Oh
Self-doubt.
yeah.
Well, I mean, most musicians I've met are wrong in the head, so I'll happily join that club.
Hey, I'm in the business too, and I used to sing, so I feel you. I feel
Yeah, there you
you.
go. You know what I'm talking about.
I do. Well, I'm going to. I know you probably have a ton more press that you're doing, so I don't want to keep you, but I want to
It's
do
all good. Enjoy it.
something with you. For anyone, first of all, Lotus Crush, Rabbit Hole is the name of the record. We're going to put links up with this, so go grab it. It is seriously the best real rock record that you're going to buy this year, I guarantee you. That being said, I'm going to do something with you that we do with everyone to take us out of the interview. You get to ask me the last question of the interview, and you can ask me anything you want.
Wow. Is this like a pop quiz? I can ask you something that you have to know the answer to?
Well, you can do that. It doesn't have to be music related. It could be totally anything you want whatsoever. And we do this because I know you guys get asked some pretty off the wall questions during interviews. So you get to turn the tables and you could ask anything at all, and I have to answer you.
What is the capital of Peru?
Oh no! Geography is like Peru. Is it Lima? Am I really? Oh wow. See, I learned something in school. I can't believe it.
I think I blew that the first time I got asked that.
Oh, did you really? That's probably the only place in Peru that I could ever recite, so.
No, I think I probably answered Washington, D.C., so we're good.
There you go. That's a really interesting answer. I appreciate that. Well, you have a great rest of your weekend, and congratulations again. And we will look forward to you hopefully coming to the States while you're in the States, but to play over here other than Europe very soon.
We just signed with a great agency, and I know that there's plans afoot to have us out touring extensively in the United States very, very soon. So we'll
Awesome.
be seeing you shortly.
All right, Terry, you take care.
You too. Thanks for speaking to me.
Well,
Cheers.
thank you for taking the time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.